Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Welcome back. Did you hear what French President Nicolas Sarkozy said to British Prime Minister David Cameron? You missed a good opportunity to shut up. Cameron was demanding that all 27 European Union countries be given final say in debt crisis measures, not just the Eurozone members who use the euro. Sarkozy reportedly said, "We are sick of you criticizing us and telling us what to do. You say you hate the euro, and now you want to interfere." And don't get us started on what Germany's Angela Merkel will say to Greek leader George Papandreou later today. How are they all going to sit down together at tomorrow's G20 meeting? The BBC's economic correspondent Andrew Walker joins us. Andrew, did Sarkozy really say that? And is this worse than normal wrangling?
It's certainly true, I think, that in Europe, tempers are getting pretty frayed. The particular words that I understand Mr. Sarkozy said, and I've spoken to someone who'd actually seen the minutes of the exchange, was he was clearly very angry about what he saw as British criticism and interference. And then he said, "Ça suffit, that's enough." So whether all those words that have been reported are exactly right or not, clearly the substance of it is true. It was a very difficult exchange between the British and French leaders.
And very difficult times. And then you layer on them the Greek leaders' plan to put the proposed bailout before Greek voters in a referendum. Germany's Angela Merkel, Francis Sarkozy, and others kind of asking, what was he thinking? What is he thinking? And what is the sense of what that vote will do?
He, of course, puts it in terms of democracy, wanting to give the Greek people an opportunity to have a say on what's a very difficult set of economic reforms that they're going through. And I don't think you should dismiss that altogether. I mean, I think one of the big problems with the whole response to the Eurozone crisis has been one of democratic legitimacy. You've got people in countries that are going through the austerity, trying to get government borrowing down, they're very unhappy about what they're experiencing and for the most part haven't had much of an opportunity to express an opinion on it through the ballot box.
Well, sure, we're seeing that in the streets.
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And then on the other side, in countries like Germany, people are equally fed up with the idea that they might end up paying for all this. And again, I think many of them would like more of an opportunity to express an opinion on it. And we had a Finnish election earlier on in the year, and that was a major theme, and there was real public anger. I think a lot of people will see this as basically being a vote, if it does indeed happen, on whether or not Greece should stay in the euro. Now, Greek public opinion is strongly in favour of staying in the euro, so maybe what he's hoping, when faced with that prospect, people will say, in that case, maybe we do just have to knuckle down and take all the pain. And if he does have a vote behind these austerity measures, it'll be perhaps a little less difficult for him to implement them.
Well, but there's another scenario, as you well know, which is that this, you know, people who've been buckling under the austerity that they're living under now in Greece could vote no on further austerity plans, you know, this bailout package, which is going to hurt. And, you know, others would say, look, if you have a vote in Greece, let's have a vote in Germany, where they'll also vote no, that they don't want to take cuts to help out Greece. So isn't there that concern too?
Yeah, there is. And let's just focus on the possibility of a no in Greece. I think Mr. Papandreou is maybe hoping there'll be a yes, but it's a big, big gamble. And if the Greek people do say no, then a lot of people reckon that that means almost inevitable default by Greece on its debts, perhaps departure from the euro, although that is legally, I have to say, extremely complicated. But just looking at the default aspect, you'd see losses for banks across the euro area. You would also see, I think, a lot of concern in financial markets that other countries would then start wondering whether they were going to be able to continue to pay their debts. And so you would get very serious financial market disruption. It may well be the case that the Eurozone is already slipping into recession. And I think a default by Greece would make that even more likely.
Which is why the countries are now turning to China, of all places, to, you know, maybe play a role in bringing Europe back from the brink, do some investing. Is there a sense that the Eurozone might collapse? Such a young experiment.
I don't think there's a great sense that the Eurozone will collapse entirely, but there certainly is a growing amount of talk about the possibility of one or two countries peeling off. Greece is the obvious candidate, but other possibilities, I suppose, are Portugal, maybe Ireland, ones that have already been in significant difficulty. But I think it's important not to underestimate the political commitment that European leaders have made. They do not want to go down in history as the bunch that presided over the failure of the euro. I think it's fair to say that most economists would say they haven't done enough in terms of an economic response. Well, they probably will do more. And I think one shouldn't underestimate that political commitment to ensure that the great euro project does survive, although it may come out looking pretty battered and sickly at the end of it.
Angela Merkel is one who's getting praise for her stick-to-itiveness. She basically forced the banks to accept that 50% loss, the haircut, as you say, on the Greek debt that those banks hold. People had said she didn't understand the financial markets, but she seemed to have called the banks bluff. I mean, how is she looking as a world leader at this moment?
I have to say that an awful lot of what goes on in Brussels is really driven most fundamentally by what Chancellor Merkel wants and what she feels she can get. I have to say also that she was heavily criticised for showing lack of leadership by one of her predecessors, the former Chancellor Helmut Kohl. But I have heard some saying some remarkably favourable things about Chancellor Merkel, that she is very well briefed on it, one of the few who really are. It's very difficult, frankly, for her to show leadership, because the kind of thing that probably would ultimately fix this crisis, at least in the short term, is throwing an enormous amount of money at it from the European Central Bank, from the German taxpayer perhaps. But both those options obviously go down very badly with German taxpayers, and she has to think about her own election prospects.
By the way, we should remind listeners that at the heart of the problem in Europe is, you know, banks that were overleveraged. They had more money going out than they had in cash reserves to cover if loans failed. Then they sold bonds and other instruments to raise money. And as we saw yesterday, at least one American investor, John Corzine at MF Global, bought tons of that European debt. And when it fell in value, his bank, MF Global, went bankrupt. How did that reverberate in Europe?
I think it was, I mean, certainly people certainly took notice of it. I mean, European leaders are perfectly well aware that their problems are seen as the biggest single threat to the global economy. And if they were in any doubt at all about that, I think the failure of MF Global was a very pointed reminder of it. They're going to get more of that, of course, from President Obama, the Eurozone leaders who are at the G20 summit. They'll hear a lot more of that from President Obama, who will, I think, want to know just what they really are going to do to fix this Eurozone crisis. It is a big problem for him as well in the United States.
BBC economic correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Robin.
And this quick note, former Globetrotter Condoleezza Rice is out with a new memoir of the Bush administration. One story, right after 9/11, she was in China with President Bush when they received an urgent call from Vice President Dick Cheney back in Washington saying they were all going to die. A detector had picked up a toxin. She tells the story with a laugh now of waiting to keel over in China. Thankfully, a false alarm. Here and now.